industry does not care about your family. They don't care. They'll speak Jesus. They know the language, but you got to be gone all the time to make them money. And that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And so I said no more, and I hung it up. And I decided to come home and just make records. Making records was kind of how I paid for making Citizen Way happen for other people. So I'd always been doing that since I was a kid. And I started all the other things I did, General Records, Jet Feather Books, and all that kind of stuff. But it's never gone away. It's not like I hung up the cleats for good. I just took a break. It was an Ebenezer to me. I needed a break. But I continued to make music, and I started to go after just other things. Christian music is so myopic anymore. You can only talk about what's best for Becky the soccer mom, and it's just boring. And I'm not a worship guy. I just never have been. I'm not a worship music. And I think, personally, worship music is the biggest offender, because that's where all the money is. And just follow the money.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the Throwing Mountains podcast, where men are rediscovering courageous leadership. Come join us, because you're going to be strengthened by the stories of God working in the lives of ordinary men today. Men who've become leaders in their spheres of influence by relying on God and following Jesus. Welcome. My name is Mike Hatch. I am your host, and I am joined, as usual, with best-selling author Chris Bollinger. We're grateful that you chose to be with us today, especially if you're new, if this is your first time, welcome. Grateful that you chose to invest, as I say, your most valuable resource, your time, listening to our podcast. And I don't think you're going to be disappointed. I think this is going to be an incredible interview. Today, we have Ben Calhoun with us, and Ben is the founder and the frontman for the CCM band Citizen Way. With two number ones on CCM radio and a handful of top tens, he is excited to release music to the mainstream now and country audiences. And we're going to get to hear the story about how he came to this. So I cannot wait. But Ben is a family man from Franklin, Tennessee. He is a proud husband and father of three girls, a children's book author, and founder of Jet Feather Books. He also assists artists in songwriting, production, music videos, and general mentorship and management as the founder of General Records. He founded Generosity Rocks, a nonprofit fundraising platform for musicians. He serves as an artist ambassador for Deer Run Camp in Lapers Fork, Tennessee. Having grown up the son of a pastor and a musician, he draws inspiration from artists like the Eagles, the Doobie Brothers. Chris, you're going to like that, right? You like the Doobie Brothers on here. James Taylor, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Jeff Moore, PFR, John Mayer, Garth Brooks, Faith Hill, Vince Gill. Okay, that's enough. You get the idea. He is currently booking live events with his family on stage with him on the Daddy's Home Tour, which is super cool. And Ben, first of all, welcome to the Throwing Mountains podcast. We're really grateful to have you, brother.
Thanks for having me, boys. It's a cool name, by the way. Throwing Mountains sounds like a song.
It does, doesn't it?
It does.
Yes. Ben, just a personal note, of course, we go back a little bit, mainly with my wife, who you really kind of started out with her at Willow Creek, where you guys were both on staff. And I think you were one of her volunteers. And during that time, I still remember she would come home and talk about, yeah, Ben's trying to make it big. He's trying to play music and get into the mainstream, all this kind of stuff. I remember thinking, oh, who is this Ben guy? It's interesting. And then I got to meet you a couple times. And since then, of course, God has definitely used you in powerful ways. And Lisa, my wife, absolutely loved working with you back at Willow and seeing this journey play out. So we have a little bit of a personal connection, which is really fun. But we start all of our interviews here with a fence post story. I'm going to let you share some fence posts. And for those who are listening for the first time, think about a fence that sits along a property, and every vertical post, the substantial parts of the fence that hold up everything else, are metaphorical to those significant moments or people in our lives that made us who we are today. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Ben, we would love to hear a few of your fence posts. And I'll be offended if Lisa's not one of them. So go ahead.
Okay, so I'll start with Lisa Hatch. I'll start with Lisa Hatch, my first fence post, right? I would go back to the biblical term I would say is an Ebenezer, like in the Old Testament, where they would stack up stones next to a place where God did something supernaturally miraculous that only God can do, right? So an Ebenezer. I remember a few of those in my life, but the first one was going to see Petra when I was a kid on probably the Beyond the Belief tour. And I remember coming home. It was that or to the Jeff Moore Foundation or Carmen on Revival in the Land tour. And I grew up on all those records, and I wanted to do what they do, and I still do. And so I did, and I've always been committed to that. I can't do my taxes. I don't know how to do algebra, but I can do that. So that's what I did, and I stayed always on that path. I always found jobs that allowed me to do that. I said no to being a worship pastor at big churches, and that would have been an easy way out. And I just kept saying, no, I'm going to do the independent thing because that's where those guys went. They have those stories, and I'm going to do the same thing. So ever since I was a kid, that was another one. Meeting my wife was another one. My youth pastor saying, don't have a girlfriend for a year, read God's word every year, when I was in seventh grade, changed my life.
Wow.
So I did that for 7 years till I met my wife. Senior of my college year, we've been married 20 years now. Starting the band, I would say just being, honestly, a lot of the Embers and Easters is just being obedient to where God has gifted me. I get real leery about people say, oh, the Lord spoke to me. I'm like, no, he didn't. That's just like,
I'm always skeptical about that too.
Because the reality of it is, guys, like, how many young believers, baby Christians say that, and then next week it's different? Or it doesn't line up with scripture. I'm like, come on. So you know what I did is I stuck to the things my dad always said. He's like, son, it's in God's word. Read the book. It's there. And he's like, stick to your strengths and bloom where you're planted. It's just over and over and over and over. It's not rocket science. It might be difficult, but it's simple. So that's what I did. And I was always inspired by songs and singers. And so I just built everything that I have, my companies that I run, off and around the giftings that God gave me. Those were the things that I'm really proud of, is just being consistent in obedience. So that's my Ebenezer, I guess. Consistency.
When did you start the band Citizen Way? Talk a little bit about that and where that took you and what your experiences were with that.
I started the band Citizen Way, which we were called the least of these back then. I always wanted to be a platform to help people, and still am. So the least of these from Matthew, the year after I got married, started a record. Everybody told me I should just be a solo artist, but I felt very excited about being in a band. And I can speak a lot on that, especially to young artists who were trying to figure out the industry. I'm like, unless you really do it the good old-fashioned hard way with nothing to something, you're not going to last. The successful people in this industry aren't even the most talented. They just don't give up. And I felt like that's part of what I had. I had some talent, but I also worked really hard. I had my music education degree. I wanted to be a band director. I did that. I took it seriously, and I taught in the public school for a while I was making records with the band and touring locally at all the youth retreats. And I always went where the audience was, and they were there on Sunday morning, and they were at youth retreats. And eventually they asked how much we charge. And I would go just basically meet every kid at the retreat, know their names, and that was ministry. And then they gave us a right to be up on stage. At least that's how I thought about it. And then fast forward, we got signed off a song called Should Have Been Me. And there's a great story with all that stuff too. But I got offered a lot of jobs at churches. You know, we'd go play somewhere and they're like, we will give you a job right here. And I just never did. Big churches, little churches in between. I always felt this really specific excitement to continue in the strengths God gave me, all the way back to the Ebenezer when I saw Petra when I was a kid. And I've worked with John. I wrote a song with him a couple of years ago, John Schlue. It's Fight Like an Army. It's a great song. The idea of starting a band only made sense to me. And even my brother, who's in the band, he's like, you should have been a solo artist. And our record label, same thing. Our first producer, my wife, my parents are always like, why are you doing this band? Because I just feel inspired to. It feels like I'm just being obedient. It's bigger than I could be by myself. And so that's why I did it. I left the band in 2019 after our last tour. We got dropped from our label. And I decided to hang up my cleats because I was so frustrated with the industry, so frustrated with the Christian music industry. And I was missing out on stuff at home. You know, now I'm a good dad. I'm a great husband and great father, I would say. My parents, my kids would say that. My wife would say that. But I couldn't do both well. You got to pick one. And the industry does not care about your family. They don't care. They'll speak Jesus. They know the language. But you got to be gone all the time to make them money. And that's just how it is. And so I said no more. And I hung it up. And I decided to come home and just make records. Making records was kind of how I paid for making Citizen Way happen for other people. Mm-hmm. So I've always been doing that since I was a kid. And I started all the other things I did, General Records, Jet Feather Books, and all that kind of stuff. But it's never gone away. It's not like I hung up the cleats for good. I just took a break. It was an Ebenezer to me. I needed a break. But I continued to make music, and I started to go after just other things. Christian music is so myopic anymore. You can only talk about what's best for Becky the soccer mom, and it's just boring. And I'm not a worship guy. I just never have been. I'm not a worship music. And I think, personally, worship music is the biggest offender. Because that's where all the money is. And just follow the money. I know this industry. That's where it is. Even when I was a kid, I'm like, what? This is not real. Like, it's just so manufactured. It's just, it's fake to me. And I get it. There's real stuff there. I'm not trying to smash everybody down. But it's just fake to me. And I just, I'm like, hey, something's off here. So the more I went into it, the more I realized how much money is made. That little CCLI license number on the bottom of the screen when you sing it at church, that's basically a bank account. So
no I'm like, way. I did not even put that together. Holy cow.
Yeah, can you go over this little bit? Can you take a step back and go over this a little bit slower? Because I know some of this, and I think Mike knows some of this, but a lot of people in the audience may not. So 20 years ago when you got started, we didn't have streaming, right? So I think you still could sell records, right? You still could make some money, or the label could make some money, or somebody could make some money from selling music.
But the label's making money. No
right,
problem.
Right. They're making money either way, right? But how has that changed since you got into the industry? So kind of walk us through what's happened. How has streaming affected things? Why has worship become such a big thing now for making money? Can you just explain a little bit?
Well, again, I don't want to I don't want to slam people, and nor do I want to take away the good that does happen, okay? Romans 8 is still true. God can use everything for his glory, and he does, even evil, right? Mm-hmm. I'll give you this. But if you take money out of Sunday morning churches, right, what are you left with? Do the same thing for any Christian industry whatsoever. If money is not involved, it answers some questions really quickly, in my opinion. The industry is going to do whatever the industry does. You can't go backwards. You just go forward.
Right.
So streaming or whatever, we're not going to go backwards. It's not like we're going to go back to making vinyl as only the thing. It's cool. But what you can do is keep moving forward and adjust to it, right? We know the end of the story. We know there's a one world government. We know there's a one world religious leader. So I just skate where the puck's going. And it's always the same. It's God's word. Lift up the name of Jesus. Raise a family. Be a husband and father. Follow Jesus, husband and father, in that order, and everything goes after that. The five F's in my family are faith in Jesus, family, friends, food, and fun. Somewhere below that is my career, but I did learn, because I was very focused on making that happen, I learned that it's not about talent. It's as much as it is about who's willing to do what we say. So you have an industry that's built up, especially in my opinion, the worship music industry, where after, this is just my story, but it's just my opinion. When Darlene Check wrote Shout to the Lord, and everybody's like, holy cow, that made a lot of money. Mm. People were like, yeah, the Lord's starting to move. So is our bank account. So I think you have a total shift around that time. I was talking to Bart Millard from Mercy Me the other day about this and how we lament some of the old stuff. Tate, Michael Tate from Newsboys, I run his studio. There's a lament for what it used to be because of the fact that we are forced to answer the worship music question.
Right.
Is it a leading of the Spirit? Well, the Spirit's always there leading. Are we following it? The God's word doesn't change. Amen. So how is it that back in the day when there was no industry, people got in their van with a guitar and they just got saved and reading God's word and they just go, right? Well, when money started to become involved in a big way in Sunday morning and that CCLI number that's attached to those worship songs, you start seeing like the forced hand of record labels going, listen, we're not making any money off of these punk bands. We're making money off of Sunday morning.
Right, right.
So the entire shift, streaming, CDs, whatever, that's where it shifted for Christian music. Because you have to remember, Christian music is solely 100% based off of the lyric, right? It's not the kick drum. It's not the synth sounds. It's the lyric.
Right.
Right? Hmm. And the lyric has become so watered down to achieve maximum audience, just like Sunday morning, just like the Church of Laodicea. When Israel became a nation in 48, I believe that marked the last church age. It's the lukewarm church. It's a mile wide and an inch deep. People have no idea what's going on in God's word. They just follow and regurgitate whatever the pastor says. So if you're trying to maximize audience, you have to water down the message. You can't really get to an in-depth Bible study when there's thousands of baby Christians there who are coming for an emotional sugar high of a worship experience, Sound and Lights. That, in my opinion, to a seasoned believer who knows God's word and who has seen the real stuff, they're really not attracted to that. But again, that's a smaller percentage of, I think, Christendom in America, right? There's no real religious persecution here yet that we've seen. So there's really no great awakening. Not like there
Ben,
was. You know,
so. Ben, I've been sitting on a stool. I've got to stand up. You've got me so fired up right now. So, okay. I've had a lot of experience in mega church world and have maybe even some PTSD as a result of it. But one of the things that my most recent experience being at a kind of a mega church here in Pittsburgh and being in men's ministry is it became so disheartening how it becomes all about the brand and customer service, basically. So my role, it became like being one of those switchboard operators, you know, get the incoming call. Who's the next person in line? Oh, you need to get connected here. Yep, there's a switchboard. Sure. You know, move the plug over here. You need to go here. You need to go here, blah, blah, blah. And it's all about not letting people fall, making sure that they enjoy the experience and that they're able to speak positively about the brand and the church. And there's so many other things I could talk about that have driven me nuts. But what I'm hearing you say, you're giving me another piece to this puzzle that's actually really troubling to me, okay? And that is that the effect that the worship music industry has had on the church. Like, I don't see those two things as being necessarily separate because they, like you said, the church is utilizing that. And I'm just wondering how much of the church today, basically, is a result of what you just described as it was going on in the worship industry.
Well, I think it's important to really decipher definitions. What is the church?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The church, according to God's word, is the people of God, right? Believers on a common ground of the entirety of Scripture. In the new covenant, we have Gentiles and we have Jews that their eyes are blinded. But eventually in the new heaven and earth, we have people who have Romans 10:9, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead. You'll be saved. Any of those people, that's the church. Mm-hmm. The modern, that's capital C, lowercase c is denominational church, the business of church. It's alive and well, or I should say dead and rich, I should say, right?
So
well, that's what Paul says.
You're right.
Just quoting Paul, take it up with God's word, right? So I think Christians, for the most part, are too nice. I think they're weak because they don't know God's word, first of all. They know cultural Christianity. We have to be so loving to welcome people in. But didn't Jesus say they'll hate you because of me? The church started in the home under persecution, and in my opinion, it's going to end there. So it's just Chuck Missler. He said that, right? So we started a home church when we moved here to Nashville 8 years ago. I was gone on the road all weekend anyway, so we did it on Wednesday night Bible study. But it was so much more fruitful than anything I'd ever done other than the church I grew up in with my father and my mom and my friends, little tiny town, little tiny church. That was the most, and I think it's because that's the model Jesus had. He had 12 disciples, three in the inner circle. If you do the math, that's about 15-ish percent, whatever that is, or 25 or whatever it is. That's about the amount of people that I saw in my 3,000 church services that I did over 20 years. That's the people that want to know God's word. Everybody else is just kind of there to be entertained or to do the business. And that's not a slam. It's just the reality of the numbers. There are not a lot of disciple makers out there. There's a lot of church makers. There's a lot of industry makers. There's a lot of booksellers. There's a lot of Seven Steps to a Better You and prosperity crap. You just look at the amount of times that you don't hear God's word, but you do hear a philosopher or the Enneagram or some other junk that's out there that everybody who doesn't know God's word isn't in the church. And then they're in the church and they're like, oh, this is the new revelation from the Lord. He's speaking. And I'm like, no, he's not. No, he's not. You just don't know any better to tell the truth from the almost truth. And God's word is, I think, from cover to cover, supernaturally written. So you have to have come to terms. Most of American Christianity is little C church. It's denominational. They follow a pastor. They follow a worship leader. And I can tell you from experience, fans in those audiences, they worship that worship leader. Holy cow, do they worship them. That is their savior. And if they could just touch their robe at the signing of the album after the concert. Mm-hmm. If they could just get them to look at them. I have seen it happen. I can tell you stories about that. Now, again, I'm not slamming here. I'm just trying to reveal the reality behind the curtain, right? I made the soup. I know how the soup is made, right? So I always had a very difficult time. There was times when I would be like, I don't think the writers in this room wanted me to talk about Jesus in the song. I did it anyway. There were churches I would go to. They did not want me to sing nothing but the blood of Jesus. I did it anyway. I didn't get invited back, but I sang it anyway. You know, when I go somewhere, I'm not a modern worship guy. All I can really do is old hymns. But I prefer them anyway because they're so full of truth and people love that too. But I'm an outlier. I don't do social media. I have it. I just don't. I got shadow banned 4 years ago for being pro-life and voting accordingly with a name that shall not be mentioned. And I got shadow banned and nobody sees our posts. So what's the point anymore? I know that's evil. I knew it was coming. Never wore a mask. And I lost a lot of business for that because I wouldn't wear a mask on the freaking microphone. You know, I'm like, no, wake up, people. It's just absurd to me that the amount of Christians that go to church, they have no idea what's in God's word. None. So they have no idea when they're being duped. So the lowercase t church is full of people who really want to know the truth, but they're not getting it in the lowercase c church system, which is why I decided to get out.
I like that, Ben.
I'd love to go back in, but I had to raise my family first. And if I'm not able to disciple our children with my wife and see them for dinner, even if I'm gone all day, I have no business being gone 380 days a year to go serve the Lord. I have watched a lot of divorces happen in that. And it's a bunch of bullcrap. So you know what? Like if you can't, I'm speaking to myself. If I couldn't raise my family and do 300 days a year, then I had to sacrifice one of them. So I sacrificed my career.
A key partner for the Throwing Mountains podcast is the men's ministry CLC, Christ-Led Communities. CLC strives to build authentic community through the uncommon pursuit of Christ. And it has had an incredible impact on the lives of tens of thousands of men, including Mike Hatch and me. If you're like most men, then you have many male acquaintances, but few or even no trusted male friends. With CLC, you'll join with other men around the person and work of Jesus Christ, and powerful things will happen. You'll see masks removed and honest brotherhood begin. CLC is much more than a Bible study. It's a relational pathway that equips men for a lifetime of biblically based leadership. For more information, go to clchq.org or email Mike Hatch at mhatch@clchq.org. I like what you said about the Little C Church. People are there for a variety of reasons, right? Some are there maybe for the wrong reasons, but they're there. And a lot of them want to know truth, but maybe they're not getting it there. So what, in your opinion, is
And they
the
don't
answer?
Know any better.
Right.
They don't
right.
know any better.
They haven't been offered anything better. So what can we do in the current structure? One option is we just tell people to get out of the big churches and start home churches. But what are some things that people can do in that current framework to reach more people? Because a lot of people are seeking. They're just not finding it right now.
Well, I think there's also a lack of people that are able to disciple.
Okay.
How many people have asked us, can I come to your home church? There's a couple aspects to this. We've invited a lot of people, right? It sticks to about four or five families, the core. Everybody else kind of just comes and they leave because they miss the entertainment part. They miss the corporate worship. They miss the feeling of whatever that, and I get it. Believe me, I enjoy that. There is so much good that happens in that corporate setting. I just can't find something better than a small group Bible study. You know what we do? We sing some hymns. We open God's word. We get through about a chapter a week and we discuss it. My girls, my teenage girls are there. The amount of depth and relationship with not only with each other, but the inability to hide in the number system in the back of the pews at a big megachurch. It's not there. You're forced to be accountable. You're forced to dig in. You're forced to be kind of uncomfortable. You're forced to, I guess the other opposite too, you're forced to grow. And I don't think you can get a lot of that in numbers. Again, there's a mathematical equation studying numerology in scripture. Every detail is meant to be where it is, right? There's a reason why 40 is everywhere, 7, 8. It all means something. I think Jesus had 12 disciples for a reason. And three were on the inner circle. I think it's important that we say, okay, if we have to abandon the Sunday morning thing in some ways, if we take money out, what does it look like? Well, it forces you to get into the Word, and then the Holy Spirit takes over. I don't think it's our job. I think our job is to simply read God's Word, disciple our families, and watch the Holy Spirit attract people to that. And it grows from there. That's God's job. What does the Bible say? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. It's not our job. But we make a lot of money doing it, so it's a lot of people's jobs. There's a lot of books sold on Sunday morning. So I think purposely you have to abandon the mentality and let the Holy Spirit take it over from there. And the details kind of work themselves out. That's what I've started to see.
So the emphasis of our podcast is helping men, as you heard me say at the beginning, rediscover courageous leadership. And I think you're hitting on something that is so key to this idea. I think so many men, in my experience, do not know the Word of God. They do not have confidence in handling God's Word. I think personally, we're just not acquainted with it, basically. And so I'd love for you to shed a little bit more light, because I love what you're saying. And what you're saying is basically we need to get back to the crux, to God's Word, and allowing the Holy Spirit to unleash the power of the Holy Spirit to really lead. Because I think what you're saying is that's where the power is for us as men who are trying to lead in our families, in our churches, in our communities, at work. But I love what you're saying, that it's God who does it. It's God who's working and acting. And it's almost like I'm imagining we need to jump into that rushing river of the Holy Spirit and let him take us where he's going to take us and use us how he's going to use us. Is that a fair kind of assessment of what you're saying? And again, I'm asking you to speak a little bit more specifically to men in this moment.
Well, I think it's important to always go back to Scripture. Acts 17:11, Paul states that the Bereans were of more noble character because they took Paul's words, they put it up against the Word, and to see if what he was saying was true. Okay?
Amen. Yeah.
I'm really wary of the Spirit of the Lord's moving. The Spirit of the Lord moves regardless of us. It doesn't matter what we do. We can board that train, my dad would always say, but it's like, son, there's some instances in Scripture where God seems to change his mind, but contextually, he's in charge no matter what. So we tend to get moved by the emotional spirit of it. It's like the caboose on a train. You don't run the train with the caboose. Most of Christianity and culture, and even for men, is run by emotions. You know, maybe God's speaking to me with that new job, the salary raise. You know, like I know some pretty famous Christians who are terrible dads. I wouldn't allow them to babysit my kids. You know, they're just not good dads, man. They're gone all the time doing the Lord's work. I have no respect for that. So I think first you got to get off the emotional high train. And if you know God's Word, the Holy Spirit is going to convict you in the details of your life. I'm very careful to not use language that is very flowy, floopy, floppy. You know, it's just, oh, the wind of change, the Spirit of the Lord is moving. Like, eh. Like, you know what? He's going to move. He's going to move through his Word. If you don't know the Word, you're basically a fart in the wind, man. Honestly, guys that I trust, they're not concerned with any of that stuff. They just like, what does Scripture say? How do I apply it today? And I hide it in my heart so that I might not sin against God, and I'll let him take care of the rest. I love what Keith Green used to say. Do your best, pray that it's blessed, and he'll take care of the rest. But if you don't know the Word, none of that happens, right? So as men, as the leaders of our family, do you realize that Scripture in Hebrew, the A is a tent, right? Like this. The Aleph, it's an ox head on the side, but the A is a tent as a protecting agent as of the family, the father of many nations, Abraham. That's our role, right? We protect the family. Yeah. If I'm gone—
Real quick, for those who don't know, Aleph is the Hebrew letter A. Just in case anybody's wondering about that.
Right. So if you don't know the Word in that regard, how can you as a father know that your primary role is not go make lots of money, go climb the corporate ladder? Even in church, there's a corporate ladder.
Yes.
It's such a deception. It's such a deception, man. Like people like, hey, I got this passage and maybe the Lord's leading here. I'm like, well, okay, maybe, but I don't think it's that. He's not going to write it in the, he already wrote it in the stars. We don't know how to read it. We don't know the Hebrew Matzaroth. We are not Adam, having God teach us what the spirit of the salvation story is and the order of the brightness of the stars, according to Chuck Missler. But here's what I have learned. I'm going to go back to this. Men who really love and know God's word and are excited about it, it naturally comes out. They talk about it at dinner. They talk about it because it's cool. I love quoting the genealogy of Genesis 5 every night from stage that spells out the plan of salvation from Adam to Noah in the meanings of their names. I love talking about Genesis 6. I tell people, if you don't know Genesis 1 through 11 chapters, you have a really difficult time understanding the rest of Scripture. I tell people why people are all excited about UFOs and aliens. Well, lift up the name of Jesus and see what happens to that stuff. I've been there. I've seen it. I've done that. So that idea is all around in our culture, and the kids are seeing it in all the movies, and they're bored at church. They're bored. And nobody's giving them any church truth from Scripture. You know what they're doing? They're feeding them more worship music. That's like seven words 11 times. I call them 7-11 songs. And they make a lot of money, so they're there. Churches are not interested in speaking of those. Why was Michael fighting with Lucifer over the body of Moses? Why? It's in Jude. But nobody wants to talk about that. You know why? Because people stop coming. They get uncomfortable. Money stops going in the plate. Men who resist that and raise their family and aren't concerned with the industry, their families are strong. They're strong. Their relationships with their wives are strong. They work through problems a lot faster. It's not they're impervious to disaster. They just know how to work through it. And the enemy starts to attack them because they're more of a threat. When I got on stage and started sharing the gospel, when we got signed, I had some really demonic dreams in my bedroom. And I've seen this stuff before. I was being choked. Couldn't say the name of Jesus, but I could think it and I could sing it even. And they would leave. And they were in the form of all sorts of stuff. This is the kind of stuff men deal with secretly that they're not even willing to talk about because they're scared of what people will think in the Christian music industry or the church industry or whatever. Who cares? There's a lot of us out there who really love to talk about this stuff, and we're getting it from God's word. So as men, our first primary job is to be the protector of the family under the authority of God Almighty. Have wives and children that know God's word, repeat, 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 and let him take care of the rest. It's not a slam. I'm just saying that's what I had to do. You know how I learned that? My dad. That's what my dad did. He didn't have a dad. He rejected all that stuff that the industry tried him to do. He was frustrated that there wasn't more of God's word. He said, son, it's either true or it ain't. Either Jesus is a liar or he's everything he says he is. And I have found freedom in that. And so I'm just trying to help wake other people up. And honestly, I'm not on social media. I don't do the thing that I used to anymore because they don't want me to do that thing. And the industry likes when I keep it nice and calm and just, you know, be kind of loving. And I'm like, well, do you know what love is? There are seven different words for it in Greek in the New Testament. So which one do you want to talk about? You know, but that the idea is if you don't know God's word, you're just a wave on the ocean. So to men out there, like, man, be an awesome husband first, then be an awesome father. But in order to do that, you got to be an awesome follower of Jesus. And you'll realize that you're going to have a lot less people to follow. It's going to get real focused, and it's going to be focusing on God's word. And then hit your knees. That's all I know how to do. It's like, I don't know, but I know God does. And I take a lot of confidence in that. And then I surround myself with people who are just better than me and try to do what they do.
You mentioned your dad quite a bit. More recently, you're surrounding yourself with good people. How have you found men of like mind that you can band together with?
Easy. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Easy. I just knew that I had to lift up the name of Jesus everywhere I possibly could. And I'm not talking cheese ball stuff. I'm talking about, like, in my life when nobody's watching, am I the same man in every room? And then my wife notices and my kids notice and somebody else notices. And the Lord just brings people. He brought Tom Spalding and Brace Barber to me, our home church people. And we've been together for years. I don't know how to explain it other than God works it out. I trust him. I just do what the book says. It's so easy. My dad would always say, son, God is the biggest and best general of the largest army you will never see, with angels all around, of all sorts of ranks, according to Ephesians 6, by the way. And all you got to do, read the book, do what it says, and follow orders. You can trust that. You can't trust humans as much as you can God's word, but you can trust humans who trust God's word more than you can God. So I just try to keep it to that. And he just works it out. I don't make it rocket science, because it's not. God's word can be incredibly deep and stuff we won't understand, and I believe till Jesus teaches us himself in the new heaven and new earth, in the millennium. But until then, I go with what the book said. And the last thing he told me to do was everything it says. So I just try to do that. And honestly, you start recognizing men who have the same. Their language changes. They just do. It's interesting. You just recognize people by their fruit, according to God's word, right? They will know you're Christians by your love. Well, let's not just accept everybody and, you know, follow the rainbow. It's no, it's if men who really know God's word, they speak different. They speak less, but when they speak, it has power. Mm-hmm. I like guys like that.
It's funny. I have to send you my book. In my book, I tell the story of a kid that I worked with in Young Life. And crazy story. He was a stutterer, like big time, to a point where he wouldn't speak. He wouldn't talk. And his family took him around to all these different specialists and things like that to try to help. And it really didn't help. And I was on staff with Young Life over in the Arlington Heights area. And we took him to camp. And he didn't talk the whole time. He never spoke at camp. Mm. It's been said in Young Life that camp is supposed to be the best week of your life, right? And so we would never be able to tell because he wouldn't say anything. But at some point, he decided, after hearing the gospel, he decided to crack his Bible open and start reading. On the bus ride home, he started doing that. And then he started reading every day. And I'd pick him up sometimes to go do things together or take him to Bible study. We'd get into the word together. And he would tell me, and first of all, he didn't speak. He was not a kid who was all about himself or anything. He would just say very matter-of-factly, I would ask him, like I would ask other kids, are you reading the Bible? He said, oh yeah, every day. Really? Every day? And this is a high school kid. This is not normal. Every day. Oh yeah, every day. Usually sometimes twice in the morning, in the evening, etc. This is what happened. And you're going to love this, Ben. He started talking, okay? And I love this because this is the power of God's word. But it was God's word that started coming from him. In these Bible studies, he started talking and interacting with us in the Bible study and contributing incredible value, but it was all coming from God's word that he had stored up in his heart, and he could speak perfectly. And to this day, we just saw him this last summer, my son and I, and he said that was basically the thing that cured him from stuttering. It was God's word.
Oh, wow.
Hiding it in his heart, and then as he spoke God's word, he wouldn't stutter.
Awesome.
It was an incredible story, but I think we as men, we think it's a fun add-on to our lives, right? I don't think we're desperately dependent on God and God's word like we should be, personally.
The Throwing Mountains podcast is part of the BiblicalLeadership.com podcast network. The vision of BiblicalLeadership.com is to lift up Christ, spread his word, and edify, encourage, and spark boldness in his servants around the world. The Bible is, of course, a guide to eternal life, but it's also a real-world guide to living, providing guidance on a broad range of topics, including marriage, parenting, faith, work, and leadership. The folks at BiblicalLeadership.com provide rich content and resources that help leaders use the Bible as a practical leadership manual every day. Be sure to check out BiblicalLeadership.com today.
That's great. I think you're right. I think if that's turned into a question that I could expound upon.
Sorry, I know. It was more a statement that you were talking.
That's okay. I'm just trying to help your listeners here. I remember when I made the decision to be in God's word in seventh grade every day for a year. I can resonate with that young man. Awesome story. Praise the Lord, by the way. It changed me so much in my personal life that it couldn't help but be seen by my family, right? Well, I'm like, I like this. I'm going to keep doing it. But I think where it came down to is I was growing in my faith in the Lord's provision as Jehovah Jireh. That's what that means, right? My provider. Every time I came to a new crossroad in my professional career where I'm like, I either have to give up or keep going and trust the Lord. He always provided. Always. And either he is or he isn't our provider. The only time, I believe, is it Malachi or is it Zephaniah? I can't remember. Where he says, test me and see that I will not throw up in the floodgates of heaven that you have so much you won't have enough room for it in your storehouses. Yeah. It really seems to me that the only part that he's testing us is on him as a provider. not just, you know, money and food and whatever. It's him as the provider. Test me and see that I will not be your provider, right? I tested him for our entire career in Christian music, but I would say in our entire ministry, my wife and I, we tested him. Whenever we came to a big financial decision, you know what we would do? We'd give more. We'd find a missionary. We'd find something, some ministry in Israel, some local thing, and we'd give more and say, all right, we're going to test you, Lord. And he always showed up in a new and wonderful way to where I'm like, I have more trust in him than I did before. Why would he not do it again? So I'm speaking from experience with that young man to hopefully help the men of this podcast. Do you have faith in man or do you have faith in God? I think the Bible talks about it a clear way. It's a healthy fear of God, right? Proverbs 9:11, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I think it's understanding of anything he's willing to let us understand, business, God's word, relationships, whatever. It starts with the fear of the Lord, a healthy fear, like a general who's in the army. You're not going to come and talk to him like your buddy private first class. But if he's a good general, you're going to follow him because you're not going to die, right? There's a desperation there. Well, I go by that because I'm more scared of what happened if I followed man than if I followed God. Let's put it that way, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's where everything as a man should stem from is, who do you have a healthy fear of, God or man? Every decision will come back to that. Every decision we make goes to one of two ends, good or evil, righteousness or sin, light, darkness, Almighty God, Lucifer. You got two options. There's no third, you know? He created them, male and female, right? There's no third option. So you get the idea of where I'm going to have to lose friends in order to continue to go towards God. God's word, the truth. We did. Our small group fell apart. We were part of for years because we didn't have a core of like really foundational scripture stuff. And it fell apart. Our kids lost friends. I lost friends. It's just, I'm like, man, I have a healthy fear of God's word and you don't adhere to that. I don't want to just talk about the weather when we get together, man. Like, my time's precious. I'm not here to talk about the Enneagram. Like, that was written through auto writing. Throw it away. Like, yeah, you just, sorry. I know it's like, well, it helps a lot of people. I'm like, well, so do the fruits of the Spirit. So does God's word. I'm like, you got to choose one. So I know I sound real harsh on that, but take it up with God's word, man. Like, that's the arbiter. It's either your truth or God's truth or in between. So I resonate with that kid because I lived it. I had to. In order to do the band thing, in order to stay on the road, make $25 a show for years, I had to trust the Lord because I knew that I hated being at a desk job with a suit and tie. I hated it. My wife hated it for me. I knew I was supposed to be up on stage singing songs about Jesus. So I just kept finding any way I could to do that, selling T-shirts. That's basically what we are as most musicians. We're glorified T-shirt salesmen because the record label owns everything. But you get to the point of where it's either true or it ain't. Either he's my provider or he's not. And I can tell you the amount of stress that goes away from me just saying, you know what? I don't know, but I know God does. And I'm going to do what I can today to do that. I'm not going to let tomorrow take over me. I'm going to do what Matthew says. Don't worry about tomorrow. Do today, right? Light into my feet. I know it's way up that way. It's that some way that way. Somewhere, but I know that today I can do this, you know? So I have a lot of confidence in that. In the season of life I'm in, where honestly, I'm like, I know I'm supposed to do the things I've always done, but like I wish I was on staff at a church. I really do. I would love to teach and preach God's word all day. My wife and I and our kids, that's what we love to do. My daughter runs an apologetics YouTube channel. Look it up, Ava Calhoun. My wife does the same. We go out and teach and preach, and we just share our testimonies of family. I sing some songs. It's amazing how easy it is when you just bloom where you're planted and stick with your strengths. You don't have to have degrees by your name. You don't have to be a full-time pastor. You don't have to be on staff at a church. None of that was there in the Acts chapter 2. They got killed for it. So yep. The real ease of Christianity in America today, I'm not attracted to because I don't think most of it's real. I think it's sugar and cotton candy. And I'm like, eh. So I don't even bother with that stuff. I just chase the good stuff. And there's always more to chase because God's word, the same verse I read when I was in seventh grade is new to me today because my situation's different. My life's different. Somebody's testimony I heard last week about that verse is new. It just doesn't get old. And there's more today to talk about than ever. There's a reason why the Euphrates River is drying up. and the angels are going to come out of it. It's talked about in the Bible. There's a reason there's a one world government forming. That stuff's interesting. It's all in God's word. There's a reason why the pyramids are on a grid lined up with the stars around the world. And they're not just in Egypt. There's a reason.
That's right.
There's a reason why the weird stuff is cool. And it's in the movies and they're all getting it from the Bible. And I could go on and on and on about that stuff, by the way. But most of the kids today that I'm around, they like that stuff. Church is not doing it for them because churches are fluffy and they stick with the surface stuff. You know why? Because their parents are willing to go, and a lot of them don't know God's word, but they like the pastor, and so they got to keep putting money in the plate to keep the air conditioning on a Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Well, if you don't have any of that stuff, your focus is different. So as a man, I had to do that because I wasn't willing to play the game. I had to rely on the Lord, and it taught me a lot. I wish I was involved in Sunday morning. I like that, but just not.
Okay, so I was riffing on a little bit of the tithing thing you were talking about. Just that tithing, I think, is so misunderstood. Generosity is so misunderstood. I think of Psalm 112, good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. And there are others in the New Testament, though, too. The point is the tithe was a specific purpose in the Old Testament. And I think churches use it today, honestly, to exploit. I don't think they would say they're doing that. Maybe it's not their heart to do it. But I think often we say that your tithe, your tenth of what you earn, is responsible for keeping the church going. And it sounds to me like you're saying, wait a minute, that's not actually in alignment with God's word.
Well, I believe that's true, yes. I also just look at it practically because most people don't know God's word. So what can you do? I go back to the Catholic Church. You could pay to have your sins removed.
Right.
So yeah. If you follow that line of thinking, and that is pervasive, at least in American Christian culture, for sure, right? Then what else is it being manipulated for? You know, 90% of the buildings aren't used 90% of the time. If you look at it purely from a business standpoint, and I know it's the church. No, the people is the church. No. So if you look at it from a business standpoint, it doesn't make any sense. It's like college. Why are we paying all this money for crap education? I was in that system for 15 years. I know how it works. I was an adjunct professor. My parents are professors. They don't need those degrees, a lot of them. You know, you go and study as a musician, and I'm speaking from experience here. If you're going to go study to be a musician, you have two options, classical music, music education to be a teacher, or you got to be an amazing musician to be in classical music and get those connections. Otherwise, bypass school, go make a record. Buy a house, rent it out, go make a record tour. That's it. You can use that logic in other ways too. So I go from a practical stance like, okay, so people giving to the local church does what? Keeps salaries, keeps the lights on, builds new buildings. And eventually, in order to sustain that, you got to have more people and more people and more people and more people and more people. So what happens naturally, and I've played on a lot of the big churches in America, the message gets dumbed down. It's all about the people in the seats.
Yep.
7 steps to a better you. Yep. And I'm sure you can fill in the blanks from there. I look at it that way because not only is it of course, I can look at it scripture, but people don't understand scripture. So why am I trying to make an argument from that? I do eventually. I do. But I try to help people understand. Why not give to a missionary that you have a personal relationship with? Why not give to a local person who's not in the Sunday morning machine that is doing really cool work that Amen. Happens to be a parachurch ministry or something? There's a billion things you could do. I think what I learned over the years is how corrupt it could be, and it just put a really bad taste in my mouth. So I just tried to find, where is God? I'm going to go with that.
Well, I really like Amen. Your fundraising platform, and I love the fact that you're opening it up to missionaries because, and Mike and I were talking when you were off air briefly, that an artist who's gifted, who's following God's call, in my opinion, should get paid.
Yeah.
And it's so difficult now to earn not just a living, but to earn anything as an artist, as you know. I love the fact that you're yeah. offering people the opportunity to support artists and missionaries and others who are doing God's work and are going to struggle to do it vocationally. You know, they're going to do it on the side, which maybe in some cases is yeah. okay. But we've reached a point now where in many cases, unless you join the big machine, you're just not going to get paid. And that's a shame because there's many gifted people out there who I and others would love to support. I think a lot of people don't know how bad it is, how difficult it is for Christian musicians.
You're so right, Chris. Yeah.
So anyway, unfortunately, I'm glad you're doing it.
They're probably not going to know. They're probably never going to know. And the reality is, I don't know how much it matters for them to know, but I think it's always good. But the reality is, it's just not going to happen. Most people think that we do this all for free. It's a business, right? Music business. So Christian or not, it's still a business.
Right.
It's not been my perspective. My perspective, which is totally outdated, was like ticket sales, album sales. That's how you make
money. Used to be.
Seriously, most people think that it's you do it for free?
Yeah.
Wow. Sorry, that's mind-blowing to me.
Let me give you an example. Was it last year? There was a little church, bless their heart, and I'm not going to fault them. They don't know any better. A little church, I think it was in Iowa somewhere, asked if we would come as Citizen Way, so resurrect a dead band, bring sound and lights production, travel, for a fundraiser, which never raises any funds, by the way, for most of these small ones, come to their church, and they said, we can't pay you, but we have church potluck that day.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm sorry, I can't, we can't afford to do that. It's a lot harder.
Wow.
Even if we were a regular touring band on an off day on Tuesday, I'm like, play for merch? I mean, maybe if you can bring some people. But it was a little town, a little church, right?
Wow.
I said, I'm sorry, we just can't afford to do that. I'm like, you don't want to come play for Jesus?
Mm.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Man.
There's an old expression in business that we lose a little bit on each one, but we make it up in the volume. So that's the mentality, apparently.
Yeah. I can tell you on that, the sun's good for you, but you can die from too much exposure to the sun. So fame, in my opinion, is the most addictive drug I've ever seen. It is... Mm. How most of Christianity, the culture in America, the system is basically using Jesus to, build your kingdom. Isn't it the other way around? That happens a lot. And so what you will do is you will sacrifice whatever you got to do to have the opportunity to have a platform. It's not just hard, cold cash. Platform is currency. Mm-hmm. So fame is currency. And so using that for good, I think it's good. I think you can do that. But unless you know God's word and are surrounded by people that can really help you do that and keep you checked, you can't not get burned or get soiled by the dirtiness of it. It's impossible. And so I think most of the good stuff gets thrown out of the window with the more fame you get, unless you really continually have good people around you with wisdom. It's just my opinion, but I think a lot of the Christian music industry and maybe Sunday morning in general is chasing that next thing. Well, think about it. People are really attracted to new sound and lights and new building. They think the Lord's moving. So I know pastors know this, but if I say this on Sunday morning, I'm going to probably lose that donor. If I say this or write this, I'm probably going to lose a few people. That's a big paycheck that's lost. I know that as an influencer in their decision making. Mm-hmm. Again, take money out of Sunday morning. What does it look like?
Yeah.
I'm not very popular for speaking of that, but I just don't see another better way, because what do you have? You go back towards the industry and you try to deal with all that stuff. I'm like, it's difficult, man. So I live in the middle. I have to, because I run a little record company. I run a little nonprofit. So I have to deal with that stuff. Can you do it with grace and wisdom? Of course you can. You got to know God's word to do it. But I think that's the same for anybody. The reality is this: perfection is an illusion. It's a lie.
Yeah.
You know what perfection definitely. Is? Jesus.
Amen.
That's Amen. What it is. So anything other than that is a lie. And falling for it is really easy. And I have fallen for it too. Honestly, I didn't know any better when we went into that. I went in through it thinking it was like what I grew up with in Christian music. And a lot of it is, genuinely. There's amazing people here. There's amazingly good work. I love doing this. I love being a Christian musician. I love just making music. I love being a mainstream artist too, I guess if you could say. I have a couple songs out there. But the point is, I'm interested in using the gifts God's gave me. I like looking for guitars and preamps and microphones and singing songs. And how do we make this better? Can we say it by saying less? And I enjoy that. I don't like doing my taxes. I can't do algebra. I'm not interested in a 9-to-5. I don't want a salaried position, even though I kind of do sometimes. It's a lot easier. But I know it's kind of a prison too, because I can't do all these other things that I've wanted to do and have been doing. So again, fame, I learned that it's a currency if you can learn how to use it, because it's napalm, man. It is napalm. If you hold it, it will burn you. I think glory is only meant for God.
Amen.
Only. We are not able to hide it. That's why Moses couldn't even look at God. I think farther away from the garden, the less our bodies are able to handle the presence of God. So that's why he sent Jesus. And when Jesus went, he said the Holy Spirit. So as we go farther away from the garden, our bodies are decaying unto death, the Bible says. Mm-hmm. God comes closer to us. We did not evolve. We are devolving, right? Mm-hmm. Adam could handle being in the presence of God. So could Abraham. So could Noah. But Moses couldn't. Go theologically with me wherever you will, but that's what it was. The guy wrote the Ten Commandments, you know? It would have killed them to be in the presence of God. Maybe it's because our bodies can't handle it. Fame and glory outside of a perfect, sinless union with God Almighty through Jesus, you can't handle it. Look at Lucifer. You can't do it. Yeah. I know so many of my famous Christian friends who do this really well, by the way. And it gets to them after a while. It's hard to be around people because everybody wants something from them.
Yep.
You know, there's always an ulterior motive.
Yep.
And it's difficult to be a famous Christian. I think you can utilize your platform for that, but man, selling Jesus is difficult, man. It is difficult. Because there's so much that you have to unpack for that. So I try not to sell Jesus. I'm just like, can I lead you to him? You know?
Yeah. No, Ben, I so appreciate you being willing to take a stand like this. It's a very unpopular opinion or position that you're taking, but I think it's needed. Yeah. I think that it sounds like you're a voice that I think a lot of Christians need to hear from, because what they're getting is trash, as we've been talking about a lot of it. And so I'm grateful for your courage and boldness to stand up and pull the curtain back, if you will, shine the light on the mess that's going on, because I think these people we're idolizing, we're putting our gaze in the wrong direction. We need to be fixing our gaze on Christ, as you've said, and not on these worship leaders, these celebrities, famous Christians. Anyway, I'm grateful for you willing to step out like that. So we do need to kind of wrap up here, but you've got your website, bencalhoun.com. Most people would say, yeah, I'm on Twitter, I'm on this, I'm on that. You don't do social media as much, but where could folks find you? Do they go to bencalhoun.com to check in with you?
Easiest way to get in touch with me. I mean, I barely keep up with websites and social media. Honestly, I have to just trust the Lord to bring in enough money to feed my family, right? And he always does. So if you want to work with me as an artist or as a singer-songwriter, I love to make records. I actually am not always this intense, right? Right? It makes me mad at peddling Jesus. It just frustrates me, right?
Yes.
So if you want to work with me as a singer-songwriter, you can come to Nashville. And my studio is awesome. It's the home of a really awesome guy who sings for a very big, famous Christian band that you all know and love. And you can email me at ben@bencalhoun.com. And I'd love to write a song with you. It doesn't have to be a Christian song. I would love to teach you the music business by helping you own your masters, open your publishing. If you want to be an artist with Generosity Rocks, ben@bencalhoun.com. If you want to book me or sit us away for a show, ben@bencalhoun.com. Yes, that is my email. I will answer you. And forgive me if it takes a little bit.
That's amazing, Ben. Appreciate you so much, brother. Thank you for speaking with us. Let me pray for you and your family before we let you go. Oh, Father, thank you, God, for this time together. Thank you for how refreshing it's been. Lord, thank you for the light of your gospel that shines in, Lord, and really reveals everything, the good, the bad, and the really bad. Father, we're grateful because in the light is where we experience your grace. It's where we experience your eternal provision in Christ Jesus. And I just thank you for Ben's courage to step out like this and to pull the curtain back, like I just said. I pray for protection over he and his family, God. I pray against the evil one, Lord, that you would restrain him. And Lord, I pray that as Ben continues to work to lead his family, that he would do so in the power of the Holy Spirit, God, walking in step with the Spirit, Father. And Lord, I pray for his family, that you would provide everything that they need and empower them to do your will. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Ben.